Hello and all, welcome to Mark Langdon's Bet Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Hope you all had a lovely Christmas, New Year on the horizon, but still plenty of football between now and then. Mark, how have you been faring over the last few days? I was going to say refreshed, that's not really the word to use after a Christmas Boxing Day combo, is it?
No, what's it? Steven Gerrard, that sort of infamous, we go again. That's what it's been like since, I don't know, about the 20th of December or something like that. But yeah, it's today, as we speak on the Thursday, probably the first rest day in about a week. It's like the Tour de France, isn't it, where we've kind of climbed the mountain now, I think. We'll have a rest day, and hopefully that the rest is just a little gentle stroll around the Champs-Élysées for the final stage.
I think the Tour de France athlete is probably in slightly better shape than us two at the moment, but I don't want to jump to conclusions. Look, we'll get straight into the action this week, Mark, because, you know, not too much time between time of recording and the games we'll be discussing. So let's jump straight into our big match. And we're going to be looking at Liverpool, Newcastle, this one, the big one on New Year's Day. Let's have a quick look at the prices. Liverpool 9-20, 7-2 about the draw. Newcastle 6-1 as they travel to Anfield. 8 o'clock this one. Newcastle struggling, and I think we probably saw it coming, Mark, with the injuries and their fixture congestion that they've had. But I don't think anyone quite saw the nature of that defeat to Nottingham Forest the other day.
Oh, that was a bad one. They've played, what, twice since we last spoke? Beaten 1-0 at Luton, and then the really poor performance against Nottingham Forest. You know, this was a team Eddie Howe had built really with Newcastle, so strong at the back. They were so well organised. You know, he'd gone and spent time, hadn't he, watching Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid, and was talking them kind of, you know, being the dark arts champions in the Premier League. And like Nottingham Forest, from, I don't know, about the 30th minute onwards, just counter-attacked at will against them. And I mean, like, Chris Wood should not be scoring that type of hat-trick in the Premier League. It was great to see, I think, for kind of, particularly those of us that have had a big interest in sort of the EFL over the years. And, Chris Wood, I'd say, is, you know, your stereotypical championship striker, isn't he? You know, he's the sort of team that if you were pushing for promotion in the Championship, like back in the day, he would have been the person he went for. It's a bit different now, isn't it, with the way that teams play. And or knocking around bottom half Premier League, you know, the teams involved in the relegation battle. You know what you're going to get from Chris Wood, or at least you thought you knew what you're going to get from Chris Wood. Definitely didn't expect sort of the calibre of goal that he scored. You know, the left foot dink was a thing of beauty, and the poor Dan Byrne was just left for dust for the third goal. But overall, that Newcastle performance, nowhere near the standards that they'd set, you know, from last season and earlier on in this campaign. I think you're right about the fixtures catching up with them. You know, they've had no time to rest, really. They played six hard Champions League games, three really difficult League Cup ties where they went for it, Man City, Man United and Chelsea. And now they're just looking around thinking, well, probably not going to finish in the Champions League spots this time around, maybe fifth. That's probably, if it does go down to fifth, then there's some hope there. But at the moment, they don't look like qualifying for the Champions League. They're out of the League Cup. They've got this time-weird derby coming up in the FA Cup against Sunderland that's, if unlosable, I'm not sure if unlosable is a word, but it's unlosable, I think, for Newcastle. You know, the humiliation that they would find if they got beat by Sunderland would be high. And then you do start to wonder whether there's proper pressure on Eddie Howe.
Are we at that stage already, are we?
No, I mean, if they lost to Sunderland, the kind of calmer set of supporters, and I'd say most of them are still very much Eddie in, and you know, they can see the bigger picture of the injuries and how far the team has come in quite a short period of time. But also with that, expectations rise, don't they? And and Newcastle have not been up to standards really in recent weeks. They've had the injuries. They're starting to get players back. They've still got, I think, good enough. You know, the team that took to the pitch against Nottingham Forest on Boxing Day should not be losing 3-1 at home to that Nottingham Forest team. That would be my kind of look at it. And, you know, you got beaten by Luton as well. Again, no reason for Newcastle, even with the injuries, to get beat 1-0 by Luton. They've conceded 11 shots on target in their last two games against Nottingham Forest and Luton. They were one of the best defensive teams last year. And a lot of that was down to organisation and the midfield, just gaping holes in it against Nottingham Forest. And then even last 20 minutes, you know, you're expecting that there was enough time left for Newcastle to get back into the game. The more changes Eddie Howe made, the worse the team got. So, doesn't bode well for this trip to Liverpool, because at the moment they're just not playing how you'd expect a kind of team that was in the Champions League, earlier on this month to be performing.
Liverpool, on the other hand, Mark, it does feel as if their last couple of home league games, a slight missed opportunity, draws against Manchester United and Arsenal. I'd say frustration probably the overriding feeling for Liverpool supporters in there. You know, in between a good win in the cup against West Ham and a fairly professional performance at Burnley. But with City struggling, it feels as if they could have maybe distanced themselves a little bit more.
Yeah, there was a slight missed opportunity, particularly against Manchester United, because they went out in the next away game, didn't they, and got beat at West Ham. The Arsenal game, like, they conceded early in that game, worst possible start. They managed to get themselves back into it. I thought that they were the better of two good sides over the 90 minutes. There was the what I think was a penalty, the Odegaard handball. I mean, the amount of handballs that are given these days, and I struggle to see how that they're given. And then that one just bamboozled me that it wasn't. And the Trent Alexander-Arnold chance that was, I just don't see anything like that in professional football, do you really? Was it like 4-1 or something like that? And they still didn't make it count. I think they'll look at the Arsenal game and think, well, they've drawn against a good side and that can happen. And, you know, they then went out and beat Burnley. And as we speak, ahead of Arsenal's game against West Ham, they're top of the table. But you are right in just thinking, like, even if they would have won just one of those games, like another 2 points,
yeah,
just gives you that extra buffer, doesn't it, on Manchester City, who I think we're all expecting to come on strong in the second half of the season. And you normally need as big a gap as you can possibly get against them.
Absolutely. Could be all that matters. Right. Let's take a look at your best bet for this game then, Mark. Liverpool, obviously a short price at home. How are we playing it?
Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals. 6 of their 7 home wins in the league have been with at least 3 goals. Newcastle, as I mentioned, conceded a lot of shots against Nottingham Forest and against Luton. And I sort of fear for Newcastle in this game. If they get behind, as we've seen in recent away games where they've struggled in a lot of those games, it might be a long 90 minutes for them. Bit of bad blood as well between the two teams. So if the Reds get in front, I expect them to be relentless.
OK, let's take a look at the rest of the Premier League fixtures. Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe. Saturday, early kickoff, 12:30, Luton hosting Chelsea. Luton 9-2, 3-1 the draw, 3-5 Chelsea. We said a few weeks ago, Mark, didn't we, that, you know, that there's nothing special about Luton, but they're well drilled, they work hard for each other, and if they keep doing that, they will find results. And that's what they've done over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been a great Christmas for them, beating Newcastle, then a couple of own goals in that win over Sheffield United, but they won't look at that at the end of the season if that's what keeps them up. Now they're always in games, and that's why I'm going for Luton +1 on the Asian handicap. So you get your money back if Luton only lose by one goal. And if you have a look at it, they only lost by one goal to Man City at home. They beat Newcastle. They've drawn with Liverpool. They only lost by one against Arsenal and Spurs as well. So they're just always in. It feels like they're always in matches. Even when they went away to Manchester United, they only lost 1-0. I do think that away from home against maybe a Man City or Arsenal, they might take a real hiding along the way. But Kenilworth Road, you know, the fans are up for it. And Chelsea need to prove that they're up for it as well, because their away form has been shocking. Luton have scored in 9 of their last 10 games. So if they can get at least one goal, you're asking Chelsea to score 3 before you start losing money. And I don't fancy Chelsea to sort of run riot against anybody. They create chances, but just haven't got enough sniffers in the penalty box to kind of tap them away. You know, I think Nicholas Jackson had his offside goal against Crystal Palace. I mean, I thought his performance at Wolves was bad, as was Broya's. And Kunku looks lively. And I mean, that's where the hope is for the sort of second half of the season for Chelsea, that they get the best of him. But, you know, I think Pochettino takes any kind of win at Kenilworth Road. So I'm not expecting it to be pretty, even if Chelsea do win.
Okay. Aston Villa Burnley, a few 3 o'clock fixtures on Saturday the 30th. We'll start with Villa Burnley, 4-11 Villa, 17-4 the draw, 13-2 Burnley. Again, Mark, watch that game between Burnley and Liverpool. Just lacking quality, aren't they, Burnley?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Hard to sort of argue against that assessment, really. Jack, they've got one or two players that catch the eye in moments, but it's not consistent enough. They're easier to play against than sort of Luton, aren't they? And I think the bigger teams particularly enjoy the space that they get. Obviously, did have that win at Fulham. I'm going to go for Villa to win this game and under 3.5 goals, because Burnley have only conceded 6 goals in their last 6 games. So they have tightened up somewhat. And I expect Villa would settle for any kind of win. Been a difficult Christmas for them. They blew many a coupon when they couldn't beat Sheffield United on the Friday before Christmas, and were 2-0 up at Old Trafford and got beat. I actually didn't think they played that well even when they were 2-0 up in that game. Set-piece goals, but it wasn't a good performance. And Unai Emery was a bit touchy afterwards, and I think he was frustrated with how the players had played.
Yeah, I want a good chance to bounce back. We need to do exactly that. Let's take a look at Palace against Brentford, Mark. 5-4 the home side, 12-5 the draw, 11-5 Brentford. How do you see this one playing out?
Is this a relegation battle now? 3 and 4 points off the drop. The teams at the bottom are starting to wake up.
I said it probably, 3 years ago to you know, you were very giddy on Brentford. So maybe, you know, chuck enough.
I've been more negative on them in sort of recent months, and I'm negative here. Going to go for Crystal Palace to win the game.
Oh, really?
And Waymo and Tony being out, really does harm Brentford from an attacking point of view. I mean, Nathan Collins has had a game of nightmares against Wolves. I mean, he thought he was still playing for Wolves with some of them passes where he was teeing up the Wolves players on Wednesday night. Yeah, and Crystal Palace have been cut, actually, and the price is just about where I would kind of accept it. Wouldn't want it to get any shorter. But someone like Elise might be the difference in this game. Saw his quality against Chelsea. And Palace have had a hard run of fixtures, competed well. This is an opportunity to win now.
Yeah, some bright sparks in that Palace side. Manchester City against Sheffield United, also 3 o'clock on the 30th. Man City 1-12. 10-1 the draw, 25-1 Sheffield United. A hammer blow against Luton for Sheffield United. I mean, horrible way to lose. No nice way to lose, but that is right up there. Doesn't get any easier.
No, that's one from Luton at home to Man City away. There's certainly a contrast there in quality. I think they've been competitive since Chris Wilder went back. So, you know, it's whether... They haven't gotten sort of another Premier League game after this for a while, so there's no need to rest players. It's the sort of game where I think for Wilder, if this was just before Luton, he might have rested everyone and sort of gone all in on Luton. Can't do that. Results went against them really over the Christmas period, even though they got a good point themselves at Aston Villa. You know, City, shortest price you're going to get all season on a team, I imagine, maybe. Maybe right at the end of the season if someone's relegated, and someone's going for the title, might be something similar. But certainly shortest price so far. Not going to oppose Man City in any meaningful way. Phil Foden 5-1 first goal scorer each way. He had 7 shots against Everton. Played very high up in that second half, and the talk is that Haaland won't be risked for this game nor the FA Cup, and they're thinking more about that game against Newcastle after the FA Cup round for him. So opportunity for somebody else to take advantage. And yeah, I thought Foden was very dangerous at Goodison Park.
Yeah, looked good, didn't he? Wolves against Everton, two sides that have impressed this season on the most part. 8-5 Wolves, 23-10 the draw, 7-4 Everton. Tough one to call.
Tough one to call, but I thought Wolves were gifted those goals against Brentford. They got a great result against Chelsea. First half, I wasn't impressed with Wolves at all, actually. Chelsea could have been out of sight. Second half, they did improve. I'm going to go for Everton to win this game. Two teams in good nick. This is mainly an eye test. I was at White Hart Lane to watch Spurs against Everton on the Saturday before Christmas, and Everton are one of the best teams that have come to Tottenham, I think, this season. I was so impressed with how they played, and I think if they can maintain those type of standards, then they're going to cause a lot of teams outside, Man City, a different type of match for them, and they lost, deserved to lose. But it was, a penalty shout that, Sean Dyche was unhappy about, wasn't it? That kind of took the game away from them. If they play like they did against Tottenham, I think they're a big danger to Wolves.
Okay. Evening game on the 30th sees Nottingham Forest hosting Manchester United. 21-10 Forest, 13-5 for the draw. 6-5 Manchester United. A good comeback win for United. Almost surprised to see the odds against here.
Yeah, I like Manchester United to win this game, Jack. Totally agree. It's got very little to do with the comeback against Aston Villa, because I had to look at these games for the Racing and Football Outlook, because I did the previews for them on Christmas Eve, and I had Manchester United down as sort of my best bet at the prices then. They are very good at beating bad teams. Their record against teams in the bottom half, won 8 of those 10, and they've won all 4 away games against sort of the teams that they've played outside of the top half team. So yeah, and they will have taken a lot of confidence from that comeback against Aston Villa. I thought they played well from about the 25th 20 minute onwards. Like, they were 2-0 down, all the pressure in the world is on them, and they started to grow into the game, and actually second half got after Villa and played at a tempo that I hadn't seen Manchester United play at too often this season. Garnacho and Rashford looked lively. Bruno Fernandes had his moments. There was sort of quality coming out of the midfield. And Højlund got his goal, and I think that, that will have been a big moment for him, and he took it really nicely. Nottingham Forest, great result for them at Newcastle. It's just how much of that was down to Newcastle and how much of it was down to Forest. I'm sort of just going to go at the moment for thinking that that was more sort of anti-Newcastle than really pro-Forest.
Yeah, can't argue with that. A couple of games on New Year's Eve. Let's start with Fulham against Arsenal, 17-4 the home side, 7-2 the draw, 11-20 Arsenal best price at time of recording. Mark, which way does this go?
Yeah, obviously we're speaking before that Arsenal game against West Ham. I'm going to go for Arsenal to win by one goal. Four of Arsenal's 5 away wins this season in the Premier League have been by exactly one goal, and 3 of those were 1-0. It's sort of getting back to the George Graham 1-0 to the Arsenal chant will be coming out again. I think Fulham have sort of slipped back down to where I was expecting, like their recent performances, beaten by Bournemouth, obviously beaten as well by Burnley. So not had a very good Christmas. Hard to weigh them up because they're in the semi-final of the League Cup. They had those great wins, didn't they? Sort of heading in to the festive period, and now it's going sort of a bit wrong for them. I expect them to struggle against Arsenal, but Mikel Arteta seems to be comfortable with Arsenal grinding it out, particularly away from home. So maybe not a performance where they dazzle the Gunners.
Okay, Spurs against Bournemouth also New Year's Eve. This one's Sunday, 7-10. Spurs 10-3 the draw, 16-5 Bournemouth. I bet you're looking forward to this, Mark. Two sides that you like.
Yeah. Well, I like one team more than the other, but certainly I've got admiration for
Yeah.
Bournemouth. So yeah, I'll be going to the game and might be watching it sort of, with my sort of hands over my eyes. I think that the Bournemouth are a big old price
Yeah.
to win this game. 2 days of extra rest, which I think is important at this stage of the season. Obviously, Bournemouth played on Tuesday. We're speaking before Spurs' trip to Brighton on the Thursday. Spurs got away with it against Everton. They're out on their feet in the second half of that game. Since then, Romero's been injured as well. So many injuries and suspension. Look at Bournemouth run. I mean, they've won seven of their last nine Premier League games. The two that they didn't win, one was a draw against Aston Villa when they were the better side and got pegged back really late on. And the other was a defeat at Man City, which happens to, most teams. So no shame in that one. Pains me to say it, but I do think Bournemouth are a nice old price for this.
Going really well, aren't they? One final game we'll preview in this game week. It's on the 2nd of January. It's West Ham against Brighton. 11-8 West Ham, 11-4 the draw, 9-5 Brighton. Again, Mark, it feels like we've been saying this a lot. A tricky coupon to go for. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm going to go for both teams scoring over 2.5 goals. 11 of 18 West Ham Premier League games this season have gone BTTS and overs. And for Brighton, it's 12 of 18. Put those numbers together, nearly 64%. And you can back it at 5-6. So the sort of percentages are in your favour here. A lot can happen. Both teams have got to play a game on Thursday. Brighton, I was saying this about a lot of teams, but they've got plenty of injuries at the moment. Mitoma, the latest sort of big absentee for them. West Ham, I'm not mad about their style of play, but they've got three players up front in Kudos, Paquetá, and Bowen that can cause a lot of problems. And particularly for a team like Brighton that like to push forward and sort of defend high, there'll be sort of space on the counter for them. So, yeah, it could be a good game to end what has been a frantic festive period.
It really has. So much going on in the Premier League. Also, of course, in the EFL. Let's catch up with Dan Charles now. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets. And there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Well, if we thought the Premier League was frantic, just look at the EFL at the moment. So much going on. Always a busy period for our EFL guru, Dan Childs. Dan, how are you? How was your Christmas?
Yeah, I'll just say a very, very busy one. I mean, as you say, with the EFL, you've got sort of four sets of fixtures in 10 days. I mean, it is like this every time of the year, but it does take a bit of getting used to. It's extremely hectic.
Absolutely. Right, we'll get onto your tips shortly, Dan. As always, we like to look at a team in focus. We'll be looking at MK Dons today. What are they up to at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, they brought a new manager in, Mike Williamson. That was around about October time, and he's done a really, really good. He started off replaced Graham Alexander, who swiftly got a new job at Bradford. But they wanted basically two things: an improvement in results, and they weren't really happy with the style of play. Alexander's football was a bit too sort of direct for their liking. Now they favour very much a possession-based style at MK, and Williamson, who was known for like producing good results and good possession-based football, Gateshead, he was brought in to do that job, and the turnarounds happened very, very quickly. I mean, they started off with a 1-0 loss at Accrington, and they haven't lost in the league since. 8 games unbeaten. They've kind of shot back up into the playoffs now, back into the playoffs for the first time since September, when they started the season well. And I'm looking at them. I mean, I take an interest in like the anti-post in the promotion sort of betting, and they're 7-1 to go up, MK Dons. I mean, considering they're in the playoffs right now, the way they're going, you would expect them to be even better in the second half of the season. He has inherited some good players as well. The teenager, Max Dean, 19-year-old striker, got 8 goals already this season. You watch him play, he's got real quality. I mean, whether they can hang on to him in January, is probably an open question. And they've got a lot of good backup attacking options for that level in behind him. Ellis Harrison, who's played sort of higher most of his career in League One. Jonathan Lecco, ex-West Brom. Mo Issah, who gets a lot of goals, in the lower league. So there's plenty of firepower there. Good style of play now, getting results. I think that 7-1, looks a bit overpriced.
Things on the up in Milton Keynes. Right, let's get three selections from you, Dan, for this week's action. Who is your first up?
Yeah, we'll start from the Championship. Bristol City in 8th place away to 19th place Birmingham. I mean, 13-8, readily available at the moment for Bristol City. That looks a great price to me. These are two teams that have sort of changed managers, and they've had sort of different reactions. I mean, Bristol City. They were doing okay under Nigel Pearson. They weren't terrible. They were kind of, you know, just a sort of lower mid-table. But they took the decision to bring Liam Manning in, and the results have improved, and their style of play is very different now. They've won three games in a row. I watched their games because I'm a regular viewer of Watford, as you know, and I watched their game on Boxing Day. They were outstanding against Watford. Watford have been playing really well lately. Only a couple of defeats in the last 13 away to it against Ipswich and Leicester. And Watford were absolutely outplayed by Bristol City. There was a real energetic high press. When they got the ball, they were very good on it. And 4-1 didn't flatter them at all. They were well worth that result. So, you know, when you see how well they're playing, and then they're going to Birmingham, who have been absolutely abysmal, really, since Wayne Rooney's gone in there. They were 6 under John Eustace when he left. Wayne Rooney's gone in there now, 19th. They've got 9 points from the last 13 games, Birmingham, on a terrible run. Watched the highlights of their game against Stoke. They lost 3-1 at home to Stoke on Boxing Day. Stoke had been on a really bad run, no winning 9 going into that game, yet they won there comfortably 3-1. Lots of boos going around the stadium, as you can imagine. And you can't see how they're going to be so much better all of a sudden a few days later. And against a team, as I've said, in Bristol City, who are going so well, you'd have to fancy them, I think, to get the job done.
Yeah, you'll find a worse managerial move than Eustace to Rooney. You'll certainly do well too anyway. Right, Bristol City first up. Who are we looking at next?
Yeah, we'll drop into League One now. Two teams that are probably at risk of relegation, but probably should stay up. Burton at home to Shrewsbury. Going to go for Burton to get the home win here, a shade of odds against. They're under a caretaker manager at the moment, Gary Mills, who took over from Dino Marmria, who got the sack after a bad run. They'd had a lot of injuries towards the end of that run, so Marmria was a little bit unlucky, really, with the injuries. Since Gary Mills has gone in, they've had an improvement in the injury situation. Key men like Sam Hughes at the back, John Brayford, experienced right back, Quabwo Barr, an attacker who's, by all accounts, is one of the most dangerous sort of wingers in League One. He's back from injury as well, and their results are starting to improve. They got a 1-1 draw at Charlton at the weekend. Boxing Day, they won 1-0 at home to Blackpool. So that's 4 points against two sort of playoff chasing teams. They're now playing against Shrewsbury. Their squad is quite a small squad anyway, and they've got about 8 to 10 injuries at the moment, depending on whether they had two players go off on Boxing Day. Taylor Perry and Dan Udo went off in the 2-0 defeat at Cheltenham. So they're going to be threadbare again, Shrewsbury. 3 defeats in a row at the moment. The fixtures coming thick and fast for them at the moment with the squad they've got is not a good thing. So you'd have to think that Burton can take advantage of that and continue their little mini revival.
Burton Albion joined Bristol City on the coupon this week. Third and final pick, Dan.
Yeah, we'll stick in League One. Going to go with Derby, probably the form team in League One at the moment, away to Oxford. I mean, they're on the same points, Derby and Oxford, but you kind of feel they're going in different directions at the moment. Derby 2 points outside the top 2 with a game in hand. That's what they're going to be looking at, Derby. They're not going to be interested in the playoffs. They'll want to go up automatic, and they are really churning the results out now. Paul Wall knows how to get the job done in this division. He's done it with Rotherham. They've got 22 points from the last 24 available, Derby. They're looking nice and solid at the back. They won 1-0 at Wigan on Boxing Day. By all accounts, should have won by quite a few more goals in that game. They were very, very strong. Oxford, under Des Buckingham, who's come in, they've had not been quite as convincing as they were earlier in the season under Liam Manning, who I mentioned earlier. 2 wins in the last 7 league games. Did get a win on Boxing Day, got an injury time winner in a 2-1 success at home to Cambridge. But you'd have to feel that Derby is going to be a much tougher proposition. And Derby, you know, 7-5, around 7-5 to get the win looks a big price to me.
Okay, 3 picks for this weekend: Bristol City, Burton Albion and Derby County. Dan, enjoy the action.
You're welcome.
Yeah, big thanks to Dan Charles, as always. Mark, let's get some of your best bets now. We shall start with a bet builder.
Yeah, Liverpool to beat Newcastle by 2 or more goals. Newcastle have lost 3 of their last 4 away league games by at least 2 goals, and the other was a 1-0 defeat at Luton. So, you know, really in bad sort of run of form, results, performances, whatever you want to say, really, particularly on the road. If Liverpool win probably and win well, they're probably going to need a big performance from that man, Mohamed Salah. I'm going to go for him to have over 1.5 shots on target, something he has done in 4 of his last 5 in the league. He's someone that's having a high volume of shots at the moment and unlikely to be rested because obviously he's off to AFCON soon, so you know it doesn't become Klopp's problem. So don't expect him to be sort of taken off unless there's an injury. And we'll complete the bet builder with Guimaraes to be booked. Bruno, as he's I don't know, he seems to have really, I suppose, shown signs of frustration, be a kind way of putting it, really. He's been booked in his last three games. I think he's unhappy with his performances, his teammates' performances. It's a difficult game when you get in sort of, if they are run ragged at Liverpool, he might lose his head again. So Liverpool to win by at least two goals, Salah to have over 1.5 shots on target, and Bruno Guimaraes to be booked.
Great stuff. That around about 11 to 1. Time for a treble, Mark.
Yeah. Is that dinners, drinks, or a bet? It's, it feels like I've had the treble in drinks and pies in recent days. But in terms of the treble, in the Premier League, two that I've already mentioned, Manchester United to win at Nottingham Forest, and Liverpool to beat Newcastle. And then to complete it, it's actually the game that's first up on Friday evening, Coventry to beat Swansea. Have a look at Coventry's sort of recent run of results. Beat Sheffield Wed 2-0, beat Sunderland 3-0. Even before that, they drew with Southampton and Leeds. So actually, if you go back over their last eight games, they've won five of them, and the three they didn't win were against Leeds, Southampton and Ipswich. So, three teams pushing for promotion to the Premier League. I don't think Swansea are pushing for anything like that at the moment. So good opportunity for the Sky Blues to get that win. So Coventry, Manchester United and Liverpool.
Yeah, Swansea looked absolutely awful last time out. Right, time for your best bet for this week, Mark. So many games to choose from. Who are you going for?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, it's nothing really to do with that comeback victory against Aston Villa, although I'll take it because I do think the confidence will sort of rise from it. But I thought Manchester United were perfectly fair price to win at the City Ground. I think Nuno has got a response out of Nottingham Forest, it's fair to say, because they were down to 10 men for a long time against Bournemouth, and now they've won at Newcastle. But I'm not sure if it's sustainable. And Manchester United, confidence hopefully restored. But the main reason for this is that United are very good at beating the bad teams in the Premier League. 8 wins out of 10 against bottom half sides. Perfect away from home in those type of fixtures as well. So hopefully some sort of new year cheer at last for the Red Devils.
Absolutely. What's up? What's going on in your world over the next few days, Mark? A New Year's Eve blockbuster for you at the Spurs ground?
Yeah, the Disney on Ice on Saturday. Should take the kids next time. Boom, boom. Taking my daughter to see Disney on Ice on Saturday at the O2. Sunday, at New Year's Eve, I'm at Tottenham against Bournemouth. I've promised the Spurs TV commentator, Rob Daly, we'd grab a pint or two after the game as well. So I won't be rushing back. I don't think we've got any plans particularly for New Year's Eve. Actually, going to be a chilled one. How about you, Jack? What does New Year's Eve hold for you in your Norfolk fortress?
Always a quiet one, New Year's Eve. I'm not mad on it. Probably a few beers. We've got Norwich play Southampton on New Year's Day. The return of Russell Martin to Carrow. So that could be a bleak way to roll in the new year. Mark, pleasure as always. A big thanks to Dan Childs. We'll be back next week. Don't ask what date that is. I have no idea. It's that time of year, isn't it?
Yes, it's the Thursday. FA Cup special, Jack.
Of course. How could I forget?
How could you forget the FA Cup special?
Mark, thanks as always. Big thanks to producer Will. We'll catch up with you all very soon. Bye-bye, everyone.